Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
It's in the past, it's in the past. Then we look forward, buy our football positive. We're wearing Tottenham shirts, we buy the Tottenham white.
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored!
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Marcus Buckland. Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard is with me, having been at Everton on Sunday. Full disclosure, I didn't see the game live. I had a family event, came back, started to watch it as live, having sensibly, perhaps not, avoided the score. As soon as it went 1-0, I started to fast forward. So I saw the goals, saw the post-match discussion, have seen some of the reaction, some of the abuse, unfortunately directed at Sonny in particular by, I think, just a very small handful of the away contingent. But obviously it was another really disappointing day. Some of the comments from, I see Nigel Iorgoca on the BBC, basically talking about how naive Spurs were, having a real go at Ange Postecoglou for not having another way to go. Jamie Carragher said it was like watching a kid's academy 11 playing. The team looks sorry for itself, and of course the injuries continue to mount up. Solanke's going to be out for a few weeks. Dan, I know, we all know that you live in a world of optimism, but having suffered in particular the first 45 minutes yesterday, even you must be feeling a little bit of the gloom after that.
Hi Marcus. Yeah, I think it was really hard to be optimistic about most of that performance. There were some minor positives in the second half in the form of Richarlison and Mikey Moore and another decent performance from Bergvall and from Spence as well. But aside from that, there weren't really any positives, and it was a really glum afternoon. Probably, I think, the worst result and performance of this terrible run since the City game. And I think, you know, had Postecoglou stuck to the approach he's been using for most of the season, or certainly stuck to the setup he's used since he joined Spurs with those 11 players, and Spurs had lost by a single goal, I think I might still be sitting here again saying, I'm prepared to defer judgment. The injuries are appalling. I'm not sure what else he could have done. But the fact is, he did change the system and it did backfire horribly. So I think on this occasion, there's certainly a portion of the blame that belongs to the head coach. He switched to a back three with Gray, Dragosin and Davis in there, and then Spence and Porro pushed up as wingbacks. I suspect that was because he was concerned about the lack of width going forward with two inside forwards making up the front three in Kulusevski and Maddison. His hand was obviously forced there. But I think it's important to say, because some fans have been on Blue Sky having a go at me saying, well, Ange had no choice but to do that. But I think he did have a choice. He could have played a 4-3-3 with Gray pushed up into midfield. After all, he spent the last several weeks emphasising that Gray is a midfielder, not a defender, and kept Davis and Dragosin at centre-half. Another reason he may have gone with the back three is because he didn't want to put too much pressure on Davis. He was obviously kind of flung in and wasn't meant to play 90 minutes. I think that was obvious, but had to play 90 minutes because of the dire circumstances Spurs are in. So there were reasons for what Ange did, but it wasn't a necessity. I think that's fair to say. Another thing that he could have done that I thought he might do when I saw the lineup was play Kulusevski as a nine through the middle, where he obviously did quite well in pre-season. And then you still had a bit of width on the wing in the form of Son, and perhaps Maddison could have filled in on the right wing. Look, I know it's not ideal, but I think it would have been better with the glorious benefit of hindsight than what Spurs did do. The result was a really shambolic first half, where Everton, who I think had scored 12 or perhaps it was 15 goals before the game, or maybe it was 12 before the game and 15 afterwards, were made to look like they were going to score every time they went forward. And one of my colleagues, Jack Pitbrook at The Athletic, very quickly compared it to the 6-1 against Newcastle in Stellini's final game. I thought that was a legitimate comparison in that Spurs just looked like they might concede over and over again. It was really shambolic and open. And I think in part, that is obviously because the players are completely gassed and there aren't many of them available. And the injury crisis has reached new ridiculous levels with Solanke and Johnson's injuries. But also I think it was partly a result of changing to a new system with fairly limited preparation. The two goals that got Everton their kind of foothold, their lead, were both really poor. I mean, particularly the third when Gray was dragged out of position and Dragosin was kind of left stranded against Ndiaye, who I believe dumped Spurs out of the FA Cup for Sheffield United in that grim game under Conte and then haunted them again yesterday. So really, really bad first half. And there was a rally after the break. As I said, Richarlison and Moore both made a positive difference. In the end, 3-2 flattered Spurs. And if it wasn't for quite a few saves from Kinski in the first half, including one he tipped onto the post, it was a great save. It could easily have been, you know, 5-6-0 at half time. It was that kind of bad performance. Another positive is perhaps that the players are still kind of fighting for themselves and for Postecoglou. We saw that in the second half. But, you know, we've really reached a point now where we have to talk about relegation. We have to talk about this being an historically grim season if Spurs go out of the cups at the start of the month. And something has to change. And you know, the club has to do their bit. You need to get Postecoglou new players in the next 10 days. That's just an absolute must. But I think also the manager needs to do better and the players need to do better. You know, they need to pick themselves up somehow because, you know, this season is really spiralling at an alarming rate into something not just bad, but catastrophic.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fair to say that at just about any other Premier League club, Postecoglou would have been sacked after this set of results. So there's, you know, obviously an inference that there are other circumstances, the injuries, just the fact that the whole Daniel Levy situation, the Enoch situation complicates the way the club is being run at the moment. Dr. Tottenham obviously turned up at Everton at just the right time. I was really confused when I saw the starting 11. I assumed that Gray was going to be playing in midfield. So yeah, the change of system, I guess you can say to Postecoglou, okay, he was trying something different. But Dan, he said after the game at Arsenal, it was unacceptable. And now we have another unacceptable performances. How many more unacceptable displays can you tolerate, albeit with lots of injury concerns, and now with the players feeling sorry for themselves as well, before you realise that something has to happen? And you know, we've oscillated. I know I've oscillated over Postecoglou's position. And for as long as we're in the cups, there's still this thought that, okay, maybe it's going to be a, you know, a successful season after all. But if Spurs perform anything like they have in the last two or three games, they are going to be crushed at Anfield. They're going to lose at Aston Villa. I mean, Hoffenheim, who, as Tom B was telling us the other day, are a team in crisis. I mean, if they lose to Hoffenheim and have a poor result against Leicester at the weekend, even ahead of the cups, do you think they need to do something? Do they have to change the manager to have a chance of still being successful in the cup competitions?
I think Spurs are in a real bind at the moment. I think Levy's in a real bind. I think this might be the stickiest kind of situation he's been in as Spurs chairman, arguably. Because I think that the problem is now, yes, in most situations, when a club is in free fall in the league, in the way Spurs are right now, you would change the manager. That's the most obvious step you could take. But I don't see a way that Spurs change the manager and things improve, to be honest. A new manager is not going to be able to heal the injured players. That it's not going to happen. And I don't see, as we've said before in this pod, who Spurs could get at this stage of this season who would significantly improve things. I mean, who in their right mind is going to take the Spurs job right now? I mean, Marco Silva is not going to walk out of a Fulham side who are well in the mix for Europe to take on the Spurs job in a relegation battle. That's true of Iraola as well. Kieran McKenna at Ipswich, I don't see him leaving mid-season when they've still got a chance to survive and the mood is still broadly positive there. So I get what you're saying, and I do think there will, you know, there will have to come a point if Spurs keep losing in the league where Levy presumably feels he has absolutely no choice but to change the manager. That point may well come. But I don't think it's necessarily now, and I think I'm not sure that would improve things, because I think what would happen is Spurs would have to put Matt Wells and Ryan Mason in as interims. And do we honestly think that with the injury list the way it is, that would dramatically change things? I'm really not convinced it would. I think the better course is still get this manager and these players some help with new signings in the last 10 days of the transfer window and try to get through this period until some players start returning. But you mentioned there that there's this chance that Spurs could still have a great season because of the Cups. But I think that thought just needs to be put aside now. Like, it's true, while Spurs remain in the Cups, they could still have an historic season. It could be transformative. And it could be one we genuinely look back on and think, wow, what a great season that was, as mad as that sounds right now. But at the moment, they have to beat Leicester and they have to get something against Brentford as well. They have to reverse this league form because it is really dire now. And they also have to avoid a Europa League playoff, because I think that would, again, that would just kill them if they had to play two extra games in February with the squad in the state it is. So they need to probably get points against Elfsborg and Hoffenheim, I would have thought. So it's a huge four-game period until we can think about that cup doubleheader. And it does feel a bit like the season kind of rests on that Liverpool-Villa four-day spell. But equally, I think there's a huge period before then where Spurs just have to get their minds focused on some league points and some Europa League points. And it may not be that new players come in before Thursday or before next weekend, but you know, I like to think some will before the end of the window. But in the meantime, you know, the remaining players and Postecoglou just need to get themselves up, because you know, otherwise we really will be kind of talking about the season being over, I think, in a few weeks' time, and no one really wants that.
No, I agree. It isn't, strange as it may seem, it isn't the right time to sack the manager. He's not helping himself. His churlish attitude after the game, again, he was having a go at one of the reporters. Oh, that's a terrible way to start an interview. A friend of mine actually said, you know, there's such an imbalance when a manager is interviewed by a reporter. And if only the guy had turned around and said, all right, how do you want me to start an interview where you've just been hammered again, this time by Everton? So in the circumstances, I understand why he's frustrated. I don't think he's helped himself in that regard several times. Interestingly, the supercomputer, I'm looking at the BBC website, it says that Spurs only have, and of course, as I look at it, the page has changed, a 0.1% chance of being relegated. And it goes on to say that we are most likely to finish 12th, although currently we're 15th with 24 points from 22 Premier League games. There's a 17.8% chance of finishing 12th. We also have a similar percentage of finishing as high as 10th, 11.1%, and as low as 15th, 11%. Bottom line, nobody thinks Spurs are actually going to be relegated, but just the fact that we're talking about it is incredibly disappointing. And equally, I mean, he keeps being asked and keeps being asked about the transfer situation. It's now the 20th of January, so we're two-thirds of the way through the month, and he's always very defensive. He backs the club, says, oh, behind the scenes, they're working incredibly hard. And I know in the past Spurs have done well, but they're now, they're panicking. Everybody else knows they're panicking. So how likely is it that they're going to be able to, I mean, okay, they might bring somebody in, but how likely is it they can actually make some really good signings, which they have to do in the next 10 days to try and save the season? Because with Solanke out now, I just think we're buggered, basically, Dan.
It does feel that way. It feels like there's every chance as well. And I hate to bum out the listeners here, but it feels like it could get worse before it gets better. Again, you know, you look at the state of the squad now, and I just think Kulusevski is probably going to have to play two more games this week. Porro is probably going to have to play two more games this week. You know, don't forget Spence and Reguilón can't play in the Europa League, so the only player coming back is Bentancur, I think, for Thursday, but two drop out. And there's quite a compelling case to just play a lot of kids in that game and try and scrape a draw in Germany and then leave it on the home game against Elfsborg. But yeah, back to transfers. I mean, yeah, I mean, part of the reason I think, you know, Levy is in a bind again is because I think if Postecoglou is sacked, you know, let's say he was sacked after the Leicester game because Spurs haven't won it, I don't think the narrative would be Postecoglou couldn't hack it in the Premier League. I think it would be Levy got it wrong again and didn't back the manager and didn't give him what he needed. And I think that you know that would be totally fair enough. So I think the heat would continue on the chairman if he sacks Postecoglou imminently. I think Postecoglou has not been as frank as Conte or Mourinho or even Pochettino about kind of what he needs in the market, and he's not piled the pressure on the club or played any sort of mind games, or, you know, there's been no sort of power struggles publicly. But equally, he's just consistently made the point that he needs help. And I think that message has firmly got through to fans. You know, they've heard him for the best part of 5 weeks, you know, saying we need something in this window. And that's put the pressure on the club. And they, you know, they've really got to deliver something. I know everyone keeps saying January's such a difficult time to buy, but part of me wonders if that's just a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's a transfer window. Clubs don't want to sell players, sure, but they will for the right price. You know, everyone's for sale. Spurs are, you know, wealthy Premier League club. They've just got to offer enough money or offer a good enough deal for players and persuade those players to come and help them out. So I think, you know, it can be done and clubs are starting to do business. But, you know, having said that, January tends to be a month where the movement happens in the final week. So I'm expecting things to ramp up, but the pressure's on the club. And, you know, it's not just one signing as well. It feels like, to me, at least two. You know, it feels like they need a forward and a defender to really be able to navigate this season, because the Johnson and Solanke injuries are just... Yeah, it is a disaster. Mm. You know, I mean, you're looking at Mikey Moore and Richarlison playing a lot of football in the next 3 weeks, unless Spurs get, you know, reinforcements up front, and you know they're not really in a position to do that, I think, given the seasons they've had. So, yeah, again, just a really big period coming up.
And the other thing, Dan, you rightly say, you know, they're not going to be able to pick up a manager, a really good manager at this stage of the year. I just wonder how many really good players would want to go to Tottenham at the moment with the club in turmoil, the manager's future in doubt. So, you know, why? I just think it could be a struggle to persuade a really good player that this is the moment to come and join the Tottenham project. So all sorts of things are going against the club. Last night... I was sort of getting involved a little bit on social media with, you know, the frustration of the supporters. What can they do about this to show their anger? And it's almost impossible, of course, because you can't mastermind a 60,000 plus revolution. You know, I've been thinking about this. Obviously, the one thing that obviously would really make the frustration apparent was if no one turned up. But of course, people pay a lot of money for their season tickets. There are a lot of fans, tourist fans anyway, who will come along. My feeling, ultimately, because the real anger is aimed, as we know, at Daniel Levy and at Enoch, not so much at Ange Postecoglou. How about all Spurs fans for 3 minutes between the fourth and seventh minute of the game or whatever, don't make a sound, which I know could backfire probably because the away fans will just sing. But the point I'm trying to make here, Dan, is there is so much frustration and yet nobody really knows how to deal with it. Obviously, we all hope that they're going to sign a couple of amazing players. But the bottom line, and this is what really depresses me, is that this is just going to go on and on, Dan, for season after season until something seismic happens at the top of the club. And we all know that there's no real need for Daniel Levy to walk away. He's pretty good at shutting his ears to the abuse. He's a businessman. He's making lots of money. In many ways, he has done a very good job. So that for me on this dark, cold Monday afternoon in January is the most depressing thing. There's no long-term answer. We are going to continue in this spiraling cycle of disappointment and occasional hope when the club produces a great result, such as the one against Liverpool in the first leg of the semi-final. I just don't see this changing. Do you?
Oh, blimey. I still think that there are reasons for optimism. You know, we've done this on most pods over the last few weeks, so I actually don't know if now's the time to just kind of go over it again. But, you know, I think as Anne just said many times, this injury crisis won't last forever. And I do think it is the main factor contributing to this.
I'm going to jump in straight away there and say that this injury crisis could last forever for as long as Ange operates in the way he does. And I've been talking to some friends at north of the border. They say, have a look at Celtic's injury concerns. This is not a one-off. This is part of the way Ange does things.
This is a big question. And I think it is fair to say that some of the injuries are kind of baked into Postecoglou's approach. And he certainly said that himself. You know, it's no secret that he demands a really high intensity and sessions are very intense. And that can lead to some muscle injuries. But I think the scale of Spurs' injury crisis, it goes way beyond kind of pointing the finger at Ange. I think there's been a big dose of bad luck in there. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened with Solanke, but you know, from what Ange said, he basically caught his knee taking a shot in training. And I don't think, you know, that's to do with the intensity of the sessions. It's to do with kind of luck and the sort of cookie crumbling, really. I mean, strikers take shots in training presumably every single day, and it's just happened that at the worst possible time, you know, Solanke's tweaked his knee doing it. And then you look at Vicario, the Bentancur situations, and various others. I mean, I think, you know, if there's injuries to kind of pin on Ange, and I don't, you know, again, I still think this is questionable because we don't know the full circumstances, but I do look at the Chelsea game and Van de Ven and Romero playing in that game, you know, as a big, you know, a big kind of red flag. You know, that was the one where you look at and think, were those players suitably conditioned? Had they done enough training to play that game? And obviously it's been pretty catastrophic for Spurs' season that they, you know, were both re-injured playing that match. But I think, yeah, I think on the whole, the injury crisis, you know, has been partly down to, you know, a lot of bad luck. And also the fact that, you know, the schedule is so unrelenting that once you get a few injuries, it just becomes like a snowball. They just mount up. You're kind of seeing that for Arsenal now. You saw it for Newcastle last year. You know, a couple of your forwards get injured, it means you can't rotate the other forwards. It means they're more likely to get injured, and then so on and so on and so on. And, you know, Spurs have really got it to an extreme level this season.
Yeah, a fair play to you, Dan, because I put you on the spot. You look for the optimism whenever you can, and that's a good thing. And we do have, we have the backbone of a really talented side. And as Ange said himself a couple of weeks ago, he hopes he's around in 3 years to get the full benefits of the development of Bergvall and of Spence and of Archie Gray and one or two others. So this for me, though, is the ongoing frustration. I don't expect you to have the answer, but I have a look at others. Manchester City, for example, they've had a terrible few months, although they're showing real signs of turning it around. Already we're hearing of significant dealings in the transfer market. They're looking to fix things as quickly as possible. And yet we know, I'm afraid deep down, that that will not be necessarily the priority at the heart of Enoch. And that's the point I'm trying to make. But let's try and finish this on a bit more of a positive note. Okay, Hoffenheim, they're having a terrible time of it. You're right, Spurs need 4 points from two games to make sure they don't have to play those two extra games. My feeling would be this, Dan. Let's try and get the result against Hoffenheim. I mean, we've got, according to the supercomputer, a 0.1% chance of being relegated. So actually, I'm giving up on the league, effectively. Can we try and make sure that come that first week in February, as many players as possible are fit and ready to go? Because that's the crux to this season now, isn't it, really? The game against Liverpool and the game at Aston Villa. So should we forget the league? Would that be a sensible thing to do, bearing in mind when we're trying to take it sensibly? I know you said earlier we need to get points, but we don't really. We can finish 17th, but let's rest everybody just for the cup games.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think that's part of the problem. Probably a small part, but a part, is that there's been this feeling, I think, that Spurs are in a good position in the cups, and this will be their kind of cup year, and it's led to them taking their eye off the ball in the league, I think. And it's, you know, as I said earlier, the results are spiralling, and Spurs have to look over their shoulders. I don't think you can completely rule out relegation, no matter what the supercomputer says. I still, you know, agree with what Tom Allnutt said in the last pod that, you know, it's probably not going to happen, and it's, you know, more of a kind of interesting thing for fans and journalists to talk about. But the table doesn't lie. I suppose a 15th, Everton, if they beat the game in hand, which is admittedly against Liverpool, they'd be 1 point behind. And then suddenly, you know, if Ipswich get a couple of results, you know, Wolves, and it starts to look precarious. And you look at the table now, and you look at kind of Spurs' squad and their run of games, and it is that kind of feeling of, you know, where's the next 3 points coming from? I mean, Leicester, I think, has to be a win. It really does. I mean, it's after a tough European game. I'm not saying throw the Hoffenheim game, but I think, you know, Ange has to be... It's a big selection decision he's got on Thursday night, I think, because, as I've said, I'm worried that sort of Kulusevski and Porro could be the next players to go down there. You know, they're not made of different stuff. They've played the most minutes. They're looking jaded. And, you know, there's no reason why they won't get injured too. So I think there's a case for rotating against Hoffenheim where possible, and then trying to get, you know, the strongest possible side out against Leicester next week, who are in a really bad moment themselves, by the way. I mean, they're you know, probably even more so than Southampton. They're the one team you would want to play at the moment. They're in a complete mess. You know, get a strong team out and try and just reverse this slump and get a little bit of positive momentum. Because, again, as we've said, you know, the cups are where the season lies. There's no denying that. But teams cannot just flick a switch and turn it on for a one-off cup game if they are on a historic losing streak in the league. It doesn't work like that. You know, you need a bit of confidence, a bit of rhythm, a bit of momentum, a bit of a feel for winning games. And Spurs are making losing into a real habit at the moment, and that habit will continue into the cups if they're not careful.
Yeah, well, I see the sense in what you're saying. Of course, Ruud van Nistelrooy, he said we need Dr. Tottenham, and he's got him next weekend. So, yeah, relegation six-pointer at the Lane on Sunday. Thanks to Dan Kilpatrick of The Standard. He fights the good battle to keep us all buoyed during this increasingly miserable winter of discontent. Sometimes the darkest hour is just before the dawn. I'm Marcus Buckland. Come on, you Spurs.